I am so excited to share this podcast with you. I have a dynamic group of young people. They're part of a nation. It's called Foster Nation, empowering youth in foster care by youth who are in foster care for you. You get the idea. All right, so welcome to Olympic and Bundy. Thank you all for coming in. Foster Nation in the house. Maggie, introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maggie, and I actually spent 10 years in foster care.
Has it been 10 years?
It has been.
Wow, because I met you when you were how old?
I believe I was 12,
okay.
13.
Okay, and now you're how old?
I am now 30.
Oh. Ugh. We're growing up, aren't we?
I don't want to talk
about
that.
See, if you're 30, I can't give my age here. Okay, our next guest, Sherry, pull your mic close to you. How you doing?
Good, good.
My doll, Sherry, she's so sweet. Okay, and I've known you how long? A couple years?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Sherry Walker, recently Kwan, and I was in the foster care system.
Because she was married.
Yes! We just celebrated our one-year anniversary, which has been amazing.
Oh.
And I was in the foster care system for 4 years.
And you grew up in Watts.
Watts, California,
we
Nickerson
Watts,
Garden.
California, don't we? Okay. All right, Cheyenne, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne. I'm from San Diego, California, and I'm currently 20 years old, and I've been a foster youth since I was 17 in a permanent guardianship with my older sister.
I love when families able to step up. They're really trying to do a lot more of that with the system so we can have those families be there. How's it been with your sister?
Amazing. She's been amazing, especially to me and my two other siblings, and just being able to have them throughout the process of losing my mom and then my dad being in prison. It's just been amazing to have three people with me through it all.
Okay, how many of us here know the story of incarceration with foster care? My own brother, who was adopted in foster care, a story of incarceration. So it's a familiar story for many of you. Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Christian, you can pull that mic here. I'm just going to, you got it. Own that mic, buddy.
Oh,
all right.
Hi, everybody. My name is Christian Canonico. I am 24 years old, and I spent 14 years in the foster care system until I aged out at 18.
I was wondering how to say your last name.
Canonico.
Canonico. I might just have to call you Christian.
Well, Canonico.
Okay. All right. So you're all part of Foster Nation. So Maggie, tell me about Foster Nation. What is it?
Sure. So Foster Nation is an auxiliary group of foster care counts, which was started by Jeannie Pritzker, who is an incredible philanthropist
in
the world of foster care.
One of the best in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Her and Tony and the whole family. So basically what we do is two things. The main thing that we do is really raise awareness. Our big goal is to rally and engage millennials to champion the foster care cause.
Love that. Love that.
I know.
Our future.
We're the future.
Yep.
Exactly. And then the other thing we do is really to support and empower foster youth that are aging out of the system. So we really want to make sure that they have the social capital, the resources, and just the connections to thrive once they get to college and when they graduate from college.
Okay. Listeners, would you have any idea that you'd be hearing all this from youth who've been in foster care? It's amazing to me. I love what you all represent. I love your story, and I'm so glad to do this podcast. All right, Christian, since you still have the mic, tell me, how did you find this group?
I actually found it while I was at UCLA. I became a part of the Bruin Guardian Scholars.
Okay, wait, another foster youth in college?
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
3%.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Represent.
Okay.
But yeah, so while I was at UCLA, I got involved with BGS, Bruin Guardian Scholars, and there was a focus group, which was led by Jeannie Pritzker, which I was attending, and it was really just a workshop that kind of provided us resources and tools of how to deal with stress management and
life skills management too.
And, from all of that, it kind of just developed into being a part of something more. And then last year at the networking event that we hold every year, or Foster Nation held every year before I was a part of it, I was there and I met Maggie, and I kind of just became a part of the team.
Okay, so let me just break this down for our listeners here. So the Bruin Scholars, they're part of an organization called First Star. It's also on one of my podcasts. I love them because they find you all when you're a freshman in high school, right? They stick with you all 4 years. They gear you up to apply for college and go to college. So it's all about kids in foster care going to college. Cheyenne, you were part of that too, yes?
Yes, I was actually a youth counselor the summer of 2016.
Meaning you went through the program, finish the program?
No. So I was actually never in the program. Oh, so okay. Every summer, part of what First Star does is they, throughout the year, provide support and resources to the high schoolers through like Saturday academies. Yep. And then in the summer, every summer for I think it's a 5 or 6 week program, the students come, live on the UCLA dorms. They take preparatory classes all day. We kind of fill them with activities. And it's just kind of meant to be some sort of summer camp for these foster youth who can kind of escape. And First Star provides resources. We did SAT prep with them so that they could get ahead, because oftentimes youth don't get those sort of resources that their other, you know, more privileged counterparts may receive.
I was just there, so I saw it for myself, what they do. And the whole idea is to let kids in foster care know, yes, you two belong on a college campus, and yes, you two can go to college. Don't be afraid of it. Just get right in there, stay in the dorms and all that. Okay, Sherry, grab the mic here. So how did you get involved with Foster Nation? And I saw you at the last Foster Care Counts event for Mother's Day, and that's the group that Jeannie Pritzker runs that we keep hearing about. Jeannie, that's her group, and you guys are an umbrella organization, or she is the umbrella. You're under her, right?
Yes.
Okay. So how did you get involved?
I was working for the Chronicles for Social Change, and one of my supervisors told me I should get involved with Foster Nation. I didn't know much about it, but when I reached out, one of the board of directors, they knew me from a previous speaking engagement.
Because you're doing everything with foster care.
Yes,
I see you everywhere.
Yes. I'm a big advocate.
Yeah.
So then they recommended that I speak for the networking event for Foster Nation, and I met Maggie, and I learned about the organization, and I completely fell in love with what they were doing.
Okay, so Maggie, how does it work with Foster Nation? What do you, paint a picture of the year for me.
Sure. This year or in the years past?
How do you work? What do you do?
So throughout the year, and I'm going to break it down by quarters.
Okay.
So
and
every
you all can
quarter,
jump in if you want to add something.
Yeah, please okay. do. So every quarter, we usually, 2 quarters of the year, we do a fundraising event. And then 1 quarter, Q3, we really focus on our networking event, which is our big event of the year. So what we do is we bring foster youth from all over LA County, and they have come from 15 plus different colleges, including some that are in high school or group homes. And then we match them with professionals that basically come to mentor them throughout the day. And the idea is really to get them sitting across the table from somebody that they would never have access to, because they don't get to call mom or call dad and ask about Uncle Bill's, you know, law firm. So the idea is really to open those doors for them, because, you know, even when you get yourselves to college, when you finally make it and you're that 1-3%, even when you graduate, it's still a challenge, because at the end of the day, everything is done in the world through connections. And so that's really the idea behind this event. And we get about professionals from over 100 different companies that come and volunteer on a Saturday morning. And this will be our third year doing it. We've had great success and had incredible partners like General Assembly and Cross Campus, which we're also partnering with again this year to do this
so
event.
You painted a very real moment there when you said that you might not have, you know, mom and dad and uncle so-and-so to, you know, take you to work or introduce you to contacts. So let's talk about foster care. So, Maggie, your situation is you and your sister were on our Wednesday's Child segment on Fox 11
yes, we were.
In search of an adoptive home. What was your situation? How'd that play out?
So, when I met you, I was in seventh grade, I remember, because we had our day at Universal Studios, and it was probably the first time I'd been there or gone anywhere fun.
We call them our dream days.
Exactly. It was a dream day when you were in seventh grade, for sure. And at that point, my sister and I were in probably one of the worst homes that we had in our history with
that
foster
makes me
care.
Sad.
No, but you were a ray of sunshine that dream day. Mm-hmm. So we ended up on Wednesday's Child, and we had a couple people from all over the country kind of inquire, and we had met a different family, and we ended up with a family that we moved in with my sophomore year in high school, and we kind of stayed with them. And even though we weren't adopted, they're just family.
They're family,
you know, they're like family. So when I emancipated when I was 18, I went off to college on the East Coast, and here we are.
Okay, and you and your sister both work for Foster Nation, yes?
No, my sister actually.
I saw her there. I saw her.
I know. She was there.
Okay.
She was just
happened to be there.
She's a supporter.
Okay. Very cool. All right. So, Sherry, since you have the mic there, Talk about your situation. You're in foster care for how many years again?
For 4 years.
Four. Okay. And then where did you go? What happened?
So then for me, unfortunately, when I was in high school, I did really well. I got high grades and I went to college. And you would think that that's the success story, right? You emancipate from foster care, you go to college. But I was unprepared in all ways. Yeah. I was able to successfully complete high school because school was my escape. So I sat in front of the class. I did all my work. I was relatively quiet, although I would go off on teachers.
Excuse me. Wait a minute. Did Sherry just say she was quiet? I don't buy that. I don't buy that for a second.
I'm like,
okay.
I was like, I was going to make it through. But then once I graduated from high school, I went to college.
And for the first time in my life, I got a few things, right? I got more money than I'd ever gotten in my life. I was used to getting $10 a week. That's it. I got over $8,000 from scholarships. And for a girl who grew up in Nickerson Garten, who never had more than $10, the projects, what do you do with $8,000? Do you save it? Do you budget it?
Did you buy shoes?
I sure did. No, I bought food. I bought food. I was going to Chick-fil-A. I was going to Carl's Jr.'s. Yeah. I was eating all the things that I didn't have growing up. Because that was like, that was the one thing lacking in the home that I was raised in, the food. So I went to college. I ended up getting kicked out of college after foster care.
Okay, you are a success story then, right?
Yeah, stories
to tell.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I got kicked out of Cal State Long Beach University, but I ended up meeting my heart mom, who was first my tutor, then my mentor, and now she's my mom, and she helped me to graduate from two colleges, Santa Monica and Cal State Northridge, and now I'm at USC.
I always say with foster care and my own parents being foster parents and adoptive parents that we define family differently. So you had a heart mom.
Yes.
Love that. Okay, so Christian, you're going to take the mic in a second. In the meantime, Cheyenne, so I know the story. You were with your sister, right? Okay. I forgot my question. What question was I posing to everybody? The foster care story?
Yes.
Were you with your sister the whole time in foster care?
Yeah. So essentially, my mom was a single mother up until I was about age 17, and then she passed away unexpectedly due to cardiomyopathy. Mm. So my older sister, for about 2 months, we were in this kind of period where we weren't we were kind of wards of the court is what it's legally called. So then she filed for guardianship. She was granted temporary guardianship for about, I think, 6 months, and then finally that turned into permanent guardianship. So she's essentially still my guardian. And then kind of similar to Sherry, like, even though, you know, I made it to college and I got to UCLA just, I think, 11 months after my mom passed, still to this day I find myself unprepared in so many ways and just a lot of things.
That happens forever, just so you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of a lifelong thing here. But you have tools in place.
Yes. BGS, the Bruin Guardian Scholars at UCLA, the same one Christian was a part of, has been incredible. They help us with all sorts of resources, financially. We get a specialized therapy program that they help get us in touch with so that we're able to receive adequate therapy and psychiatry for our needs, because a lot of us have a lot of trauma.
Well, especially losing your mother young. I lost my mother last year, so obviously not young, but it's a tremendously difficult chapter, and especially for a young person.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So obviously you all have different stories as to how and why you were in foster care. So Christian, your story is you actually emancipated from the system, right?
Yes.
And Sherry, you too, you, right? Okay, so Christian, go ahead. What do you want to share about your story?
Sure. Well, I entered into the foster care system when I was four. And
young.
I was very young. Long story short, it was just, you know, child endangerment when I was a little kid. And so throughout my childhood, I was in and out of the foster care system with different homes, and my mother would get sober and we would go back home with her, or I would go back home with her, I'm sorry. But then she would relapse and I would end up back in the system again. Yeah. And after going through this for so many years, it kind of paints a really bad, you know, file for you, because instead of a foster parent or a group home or any type of person looking at your file saying you've been in 8 foster homes because you've been moved around, or you've been in 8 foster homes because the state keeps putting you back with your mother and taking you away again. Mm-hmm. So I got this, you know, ranking, if you want to call it, that sort of put me into worse situations as I got older. So once I became around the 10, 11 range, they started putting me in group homes, and group homes were not fun. And I went through that for a couple years. And by the time I was 14, 15, I was over group homes and I was running away from that just to get out of the system.
Sure.
And then the next few years from 14 to 18 were really, really difficult. But eventually turned 18 and just went on my own and just
well, your story is very similar to a lot of young people who have been in foster care, whether it's going to a lot of different foster homes and going back to a birth parent. And that's got to be so hard for a young person because it's still your mother, mm-hmm. right? So you emancipate from the system. Are you in touch at all with birth family now?
I'm not. I have to do that out of, you know, protection for myself yeah. because they both have their own problems that they still deal with. Mm-hmm. You know, the addiction is something that's not easily dealt with and not easily fixed. And after so many years of, after I did turn 18 and when I was on my own, supporting myself even before 18, but I was still taking care of my mother with her addiction. And eventually it became to a point where it was threatening my life and I had to kind of cut ties with that.
And I deal with so much of that dealing with the kids in Wednesday's Child that substance use and abuse is really a big contributing factor to parents losing custody of their children. So as you know, you're not alone. Have you found family with Foster Nation?
I think I found support. Okay. I you know, family is, I think, maybe a little bit more of like a sensitive word for me.
Okay.
Not as like a triggering word or anything, but I think to be family takes a little bit more. I've only been part of Foster Nation for about a year, so you know, they are like family.
Okay.
But there's definitely a really great amount of support that I've gotten from them. I know that if I really needed something, I know Maggie would be there for me. And same with anyone else.
So Maggie, how many young people are involved right now with Foster Nation?
So on our Young Leaders Collective, which is really made up of a group of people that are really just committed and dedicated to champion the foster care cause. And most of them have not experienced foster care. They're just regular people who love their jobs but also want to give back. And on our collective, though, we have, I think we have, I'm sorry?
18?
Right. Well, there's about 20 of us. Okay. But as far as the youth that are people that have experienced foster care, I'd say we have 5 on the collective, and we work throughout the year with hundreds.
Well, I love that you are bringing people together who want to have an awareness about this issue. And it's not just kids in foster care, push them to a corner, that's them, that you're really bringing in a lot of young people your age to be part of the solutions.
Right. That's exactly the point mm-hmm. behind how we started Foster Nation, because obviously, you know, having been through the whole system, it's like when you come out at the other end of it, you just feel different no matter what you do. And there are times I feel like that now, you know, like I think I have a pretty, you know, normal, however people define it, life to every extent of that word. But there's always that little part of you that goes, oh, well, I'm still different. I still just stand out, even if you don't actually mm-hmm. stand out. And so I think that is something that we really want to change, is yeah. we really want to change that narrative, and we want to change that stigma about what it means to have gone through the foster care system. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I was in college, I didn't tell one person that
really?
I grew up in the system.
Okay.
And this is what, and we're on a podcast now.
Right.
So
well, it's so interesting that you say that, because with Wednesday's Child, I always feel a little nervous because we're asking young people to tell their story on the news and put their face on the news right. and say, I'm in foster care. And, you know, you all have to then go face your classmates at school who might look at you in a little different way or ask some questions. So I'm wondering, Cheyenne, did you tell people that you were in foster care growing up? Or I guess with your sister, maybe it didn't feel necessarily like being in the DCFS system?
Yeah. So when my mom passed, it was like 4 weeks before I started my senior year of high school. So we received an outpour of support from the community. I had a lot of different high school teachers from our high school would come and bring us dinner every night. They organized that. So each night we received dinner for a few weeks after she passed. And then just, you know, family, like we were saying earlier, people that become family, my best friend's parents, I know every time I go to San Diego, I have a house to stay at. Mm-hmm. Community members, church leaders, everyone just kind of came together to support us during that time. It was pretty amazing.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
Okay, Sherry, how about you? Did you tell people when you were in school?
No, I told close friends for the most part. No one knew, not even teachers. I was doing so well in school that the teachers thought, oh, she must have a great home. So I'd hear things like, your parents must be so proud of you, when that was not the case at all.
And you're thinking, yeah.
You're like, well, let me tell you, I got a story for you.
I wish my parents were proud of me, but that didn't happen. My mom, she actually struggled with, and she still struggles with mental illness. Mm-hmm. So she was diagnosed with severe paranoid schizophrenia. So mm-hmm. her moods would fluctuate. She had a lot of things with just the color of skin. So she would tell me, hey, Sherry, your skin is too dark. People are not going to let you get ahead. Don't you do too well in school. You just keep your head down. And what happens in the house stays in the house. So don't say anything about what's happening. So I just didn't say anything. I just excelled in school and tried to live another life at school. In school, I was someone else.
Did you know any kids in foster care in school?
No, the only foster children I knew were cousins who had entered the foster care system. My family has a history of generations of abuse, so I saw my cousins go into foster care. But outside of family, there was no other foster youth who I knew.
Okay, so you are out there really in the trenches, because I see you everywhere at every foster care thing.
Yes.
Really trying to be a voice. What gives you the strength to want to step up that way?
Absolutely, because I feel like foster youth, both former and current, they need that voice. So for me, I didn't have a voice because what happens in the house stays in the house. So I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And I just pushed through. And I know there's so many current foster youth and former foster youth who have a lot of things that they went through, and they don't have the, they weren't told that it's okay to say, hey, someone's hurting me or something is happening. So I share my story and my journey because sometimes people get confused, like, you're at USC, you're doing great, you're amazing, Sherry. But that journey through foster care, that fear after emancipating from foster care, that was real and that was hard. And I'll never forget that. So yeah. I really want to advocate about foster youth and get people to support.
And so, Christian, I'm going to ask you that question too, emancipating from foster care. What propelled you forward? How did you not, you know, because we think of the homelessness issue, we think of, incarceration, we think of, you know, even prostitution. How did you step up and out of the history that you knew?
Interesting. Sorry, that was an interesting question. I would say, you know, I don't know if I necessarily did step up. It was a process. You know, I didn't get to where I am today without having to go through that. When I was younger, we were homeless. I was homeless. Even after I did leave the system, I didn't have money. I was sleeping on friends' couches. I was staying with people that I knew.
There's a lot of couch surfing with foster care, isn't there?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, even while I was still trying to go to college, I always saw college as what the alternative was. The difference would be everywhere around me, I always saw kids and I saw them making the same choices that their parents made. And I just didn't want to be that. And for me, the only difference I saw was that no one went to school. I never knew anybody that went to college. I never knew anyone that was telling me to go to college. I just knew that it was something that potentially was different. And so I did. I never, you know, gave in to the things that I saw other people doing. And even though I still had my own hiccups and I had to deal with my own, you know, downfalls along the way, I still ended up getting through it.
And you're in the reserves?
Yes, I am in the military reserves. Yep.
Thank you for your service. Talk about that.
While I was actually at UCLA, growing up in foster care, you really don't have a sense of discipline. You're not taught how to deal with authority. You're not really taught how to deal with anything in life. Really. And while I was at UCLA, it was hard. You know, even though I was part of BGS, that was really just to have...
That's the Bruin Scholars.
Bruin Guardian Scholars, BGS for short. They were great, but I mean, my school load was very demanding for me. It was really hard. So I wasn't able to really attend a lot of the events that they were doing. And I was always really overwhelmed and dealing with my own struggles. And during my senior year at UCLA, you know, I've always had a lot of respect for military members, and something just prompted me one day to wake up and say, why don't you be the person that you admire in life? Like, you always admire these people. I would see them walking around campus and I would always just say, thank you for your service. And that day I just kind of...
That's you.
Yeah. I said, I want to be that person. You know, I'm doing a lot with my life. I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm doing all this and that, but I still don't feel like it's enough. I want to do something selfless. And so I joined the Army.
So all of you are part of Foster Nation. And Cheyenne, you had a great story about one of the networking events that really helped you. So tell that story.
Yeah. So essentially how I became to be on the board of Foster Nation was through the networking event. So my freshman year, Bruin Guardian Scholars will send out like these weekly newsletters. And I think this was the first year that Foster Nation put on the Foster Nation networking event. So we got like an email in the newsletter, and I paired up with another BGS student I had just met because this was my third month at UCLA. I think it was in October that year. And we pretty much Ubered to the networking event together. And that was kind of the first year they put it on. And 2 years later, I came back this past November. And essentially what it is with all the different departments in the rooms, each youth can go in there and there's just a bunch of different professionals from different fields within that kind of general category. So I was in the business room and I met my mentor, Everett Wong. He actually works at Greysdale. It's a real estate, commercial real estate company. And I was essentially doing an unpaid internship from about January to June.
I did a bunch of those too.
Yeah.
I know that story, the unpaid internship.
So I met him and Anthony Johnston at the networking event. They gave me the internship and I worked there from about January to June, where they just actually onboarded me and brought me on as a paid contracted videographer.
Yay. Paycheck.
Yes, in July. So now I work there and my mentor has been with me every step of the way, but not just mentoring me in terms of videography, but just about life. You know, he knows I'm a foster youth. He knows my story. Mm-hmm. So just kind of, you know, not just in a sense of leading me in terms of making videos and kind of business stuff. He also teaches me just about life. And he's also there just as a support system.
Oh,
for me.
You're so lucky. So yeah. That came out of the Foster Nation networking event.
Yep. And then that's when he told me about the Foster Nation board and they brought me on just this. I think I just joined. Yeah.
So you're giving back.
Giving back. Yeah, definitely.
I do want to mention something because Cheyenne just touched on something that I think is really important. To mention to just people who are unaware of the foster care system, mm-hmm. One of the things that happens a lot, of course, when you're still in college or even when you graduate college is, you know, you have to start with an unpaid internship, which I think they're making illegal now.
Oh,
like
yeah.
You have
I think
to
California has changed that.
Right, which is great, because the point that I was going to make is that, you know, when you have a family or support system or a set of resources that you can fall back on, incredible that you get this unpaid, you know, this unpaid internship,
which is a little bit easier.
A great opportunity, exactly. Yeah. But you know, if you don't have family or people to fall back on, it's quite challenging to take on an internship if you can't pay. And generally, I would say that most companies can pay for, you know, an intern at minimum wage. I just think that's something that should be very high up and important that we really will try and stress at our networking events for all the companies that do come and attend the networking event, because I think it's important not just to think of them as, oh, this is, we're giving them a great experience. They, a majority of them are really struggling to even feed themselves.
Yes. Very good point. Very good point. So if people are listening to this, they're thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in foster care. I need to be a part of this group. I guess the question, Maggie, would be, in what way could people be involved if they're hearing this podcast?
Sure. So I think there are a couple ways. One of the things that we do that is the agenda, I guess, was really to change the narrative and the stigma around foster care is we have a social media campaign called the Speak Up Series. And
yes,
so
I've seen it on Facebook.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it lives on social media and it's on our website. But the main idea behind that is really to have storytelling be a part of changing that narrative. So people don't just say, hey, here are the stats. Only 1-3% of them graduate from college and 50% of them end up homeless or incarcerated within the first year they age out. That's, you know, those are just numbers. These are actually people behind these numbers. And so that's kind of the idea behind the Speak Up series. And we have foster youth from all over the country submitting these stories, from Minnesota to even Canada, you know, very bizarre places. But the idea is really so that, you know, if somebody's listening to this and you've experienced foster care, we'd love to hear your story. I think it's really important to speak it, because if you can speak it, you can heal it. And the other way, if you happen to be in LA or New York City, which is local for the two chapters of the Young Leaders Collective that exists, you can just email us. Or
modern technology.
Yeah, reach out to us. Yeah. Hit us up on Instagram or email.
Slide into our DMs.
Yes.
Right. Well, I should point out that we are Los Angeles-based for Olympic and Bundy. It's the location for Fox 11 News here, and I anchor the 5 and 10 p.m. news. But I have seen your page. It's a beautiful Facebook page, and I do love the profiles with the photos, and they can tell their story. Has everybody here done their story? Yes, you've. Oh, Christian, we are waiting for your story and a cool photo.
It's coming, I promise.
Yes. Oh, as I told you out there before we got on the mic, where's your book?
Where's my book? Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's maybe one day.
You're still writing it, maybe.
Yep. No, it's in the works. It's in the works.
Well, I too believe with Wednesday's Child, and it was hard for me to do that segment that I first took on because I thought, oh my gosh, it's such a private matter. Maybe, you know, we're exposing their story. And Peter Samuelson of First Star, who does the Bruin Guardian Scholars, talked about it shouldn't be in the shadows. It shouldn't be in the dark. And I feel like I've learned now through our social worker contact for Wednesday's Child that it's about letting you all own your own reality and your own story. And it is part of your journey. It is part of your chapter. And to tell it, you know, without shame. So that's one way they can get involved. How else can they get involved?
They can always come to our networking event, which happens to be later, I guess, in a few months, October 26th.
Well, I'm not sure when this podcast will air, but I do want to do it before the event. So it might be like a few weeks before. So October 26th, how do they get involved? Who can come?
Anyone who has experienced foster care can come. If they're in college, if they're in high school, they're all welcome. Mm-hmm. The idea is really just to give them exposure to what it's like to network. And these are people who, you know, have been, to a certain extent, have gone through some sensitivity training. So they understand they're not just interviewing somebody. You know, a lot of times you feel like you're being grilled. They're really there to listen and to see how they can help you.
Okay. And so you've all gone to one of these? Yes. Okay. Sherry, what'd you get out of it?
Oh, it was amazing. So I got some great mentors from that event that I've been able to meet with and have coffee with. I was able to share some of my spoken word poetry, and I got great feedback about the journey after foster care. So it's been amazing. It's been amazing so far.
And Cheyenne?
Well, I got my mentor out of it. I got on the board of Foster Nation. I've met a lot of incredible people as well. As Sherry said, just a lot of the people I met there, you know, you get a lot of business cards, and these are professionals that want to reach out and that want to support foster youth. So they're there for you. They want to be a resource to you. They want to help you. So I think I have, after 2 years, 3 years of going, I think I have over 80 business cards that I've collected.
Wow.
Just from the networking event alone.
So Christian, being in foster care, you all are exposed to a lot of different people and programs. Why this one? How come this one spoke to you?
Well, this one spoke to me because it was different. Every other kind of networking event that I've heard of is just kind of like a job fair. And this one wasn't like a job fair. This one was a more intimate experience. It was, I guess I'd kind of call it like speed dating for jobs. We there were like literally tables set up, and you, every couple minutes, you could transition on to the next one, and you just like shuffle seats and you'd find a new person to talk to. And if you found someone you connected with on a professional level, you could, you know, get their information and get in touch with them later. And it was really great. I really enjoyed being there, and I made a lot of great connections.
So if anybody's listening thinking, well, I won't fit in, it's, I can't do it, What would you say, Maggie?
That's a tough one. Anyone else want to chime in?
It takes courage to show up, especially if you come by yourself or don't know anybody.
Right. And I think one of the, you know, now that we're on our third year, one of the things that we've noticed is that a lot of foster youth will RSVP to come. You know, in our first year, we had almost 190 RSVPs and only 80 showed up, you know. And a part of that, you know, is because one, transportation is really tough in this city.
That. Yeah.
You know, and so we're working on that. You know, last year was the first year that we did a partnership with Hop Skip Drive, which is a rideshare company that is incredibly philanthropic. Mm. And
that's a great idea.
Yeah, totally. Except, you know, I think we just need Uber and or Lyft to step up a little because
the well-known names.
Exactly. Yeah. But they're hard to reach. But we have a great advocate, Kiana Patterson at Hopskip Drive, who is the director of strategic partnerships. And she is just a huge advocate for foster youth. She comes to our events, and she was the one that made it happen. So, you know, this past year, we were able to provide rides for foster youth coming from Cerritos and Riverside and Irvine. And so that was one challenge. But the other thing is, you know, we think a lot about how challenging it is to show up when you don't know anyone.
Yeah, for
when
sure.
You're still young, you know. I mean, being in your early 20s is, you know, it's just a hard time. You're kind of, you're not sure of yourself. It's not the kind of confidence that you have when you go into your late 20s or your early 30s. And I think that's a big challenge for a lot of foster youth. And so I would really say that, I mean, at this event, and you've heard it from everyone who's actually been at the event, we're all there because we want to see you succeed. We're all there because we believe that, you know, success shouldn't be limited by what happens to you in life. Because the reality is, for a majority of the foster youth, they end up in the foster care system through no fault of their own. Yeah. They did nothing wrong, mm-hmm. you know? And so there's a lot of shame that goes into having been in the system. And, you know, and I feel that now sometimes, mm-hmm. you know? And it's something that we really want to try and change. It's kind of like what Peter Samuelson was saying, to not leave it in the shadow. I think it's time for everyone to kind of speak up about their experiences, because it's not their fault. It didn't, right. you know, they didn't ask for it. It just, for the majority of them, it happened to them, and it's not fair. And, you know, we want to change that narrative. And, you know, for anyone who's kind of nervous about coming, you can come find me. I'm really friendly.
And I was going to add too, like, to any foster youth who might be scared or nervous or anxious to attend this event, it is one of the most life-changing events you could possibly attend. And everyone really? At Foster Nation and all the professionals there want to help you. They want to assist you in any manner they can. So, you know, I know it's hard sometimes to put yourself out there and be vulnerable in that sense of identifying as a foster youth, but this event was, like I said, for me, truly life-changing. And just the type of things you can get out of it, the connections you can make, you can, you know, talk to any one of us at Foster Nation who will be at the event. We're all here as a community to kind of uplift and support former and current foster youth.
Well, as we know, the reality with foster care is that children are often placed in foster care because of abuse, neglect, abandonment. A parent passes away and there's no family that can step up, or if there is family that can step up. My family also took in refugee children as well. So there are different reasons for foster care. And Maggie, you make just a great point about saying it's not the fault of the child at all, ever, 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 ever. And I think that you all have a shared journey and when you come together. So, Christian, my question for you is there some fun, too, besides the business cards and the networking?
Oh, yeah. There's, like, shopping, which is technically
hello.
Free. Okay. It's just a bunch of clothes that are available. Really nice professional clothes that you can take for...
I think I brought some once.
Yeah. I mean, hey, they came in handy for some interviews that happened later on. There's also food. I mean, Sherry gave a wonderful poem, which I've actually been asking for her to send to me for a year.
Amazing.
Because it brought tears to my eyes, and I don't really cry over stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it really just was a connecting experience with not just the professionals around you, but the other foster youth, and kind of reminded you that you weren't alone. Mm-hmm. And it was fun.
They also provide business cards and a portfolio. What is that called? Like a
portfolio.
A leather portfolio book that has come in so handy for me when I've been on interviews. And I think there's a swag bag, too.
Oh, yeah. I got a cool toothbrush.
Yeah.
It was a burst toothbrush.
Oh, yes.
What's that?
It's like an electric one.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It was donated by a very generous friend who started the company,
Brittany cool.
Stewart. Yeah.
So thanks, Brittany. My teeth are so pearly white because of you.
Nice. So you're at this event. Is it an all-day thing, or how many hours is it?
It starts at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm.
And where is it?
It's at Cross Campus in downtown L.A. And it starts at 10 a.m. And, you know, I can walk you through the day, but you basically come in and we separate. We do kind of an opening remarks, and somebody from DCFS came and spoke last year. And we separate, we have the foster youth go into one room and the professionals go into the other. And we really spend time, and Sherry can talk a little bit more about this, but we do a quick sensitivity training for all the professionals that are there. And this is the part where for every event that we have, we really try and raise awareness so that people aren't, again, just thinking about the statistics when they think of foster youth. Mm-hmm. It's not this, you know, they're not numbers. These are people. And then we have the foster youth go into a separate room where they're trained, you know, for half an hour, just a quick, you know, training on best practices for networking. So, you know, handshakes and basic training. And Sherry can maybe talk a little bit more about that, because she actually trained all the professionals on how to really network and interact with the foster youth. And she did it with her sister.
Yes. Okay. So me and my sister were able to speak to the professionals and share some of our story and some of our journeys. Me and my sister, we had different stories. So my sister never went into foster care, but I did. And again, although we were raised in the same household, we had different journeys. So my sister, she was outspoken. She was able to just stick to doing everything, I would say, the cookie cutter way. And I was more outspoken. So it was really hard for me to like connect with employers. And I didn't know a lot of times how to dress, because some of my role models weren't the best dressed. How do you dress in a professional environment? How do you have a professional conversation? When you have a disagreement with the boss, what do you do? I didn't know any of those things. So I was able to share with the professionals, like, I needed a lot of patience and kindness when working in the environment, because I wanted to learn, but I just didn't know what to do. So just to be able to share my story and my journey of working for different companies and not knowing what to do, but to the companies who were patient and kind to me, totally helped me in being able to excel in both school and my career.
I love it.
Maggie, why should everybody out there pay attention to this group?
So we're just doing things differently. We are really here to rally and engage millennials and young leaders to champion the foster care cause. So you know, not your traditional nonprofit. We don't do galas. We are all about having fun, and we're all about raising awareness of the journeys of foster youth and what they go through and how we can all step up as a community to support and empower them.
Okay, Cheyenne, you ready?
Yes.
What do you got?
So Foster Nation is a welcoming and safe environment that really is meant to support and uplift foster youth, not only throughout Los Angeles County, but nationally as well, especially with our collective in New York. So I think any former or current foster youth that are looking to kind of advocate for youth and be a voice for youth, this is a great organization to join.
Okay, Sherry.
Foster Nation is a great support to both current and former foster youth. They give you the hookup. So they help with free clothes shopping, with connecting to businesses that you may want to work for, companies. And they also just provide an amazing village of former foster youth who can support, give you advice, and just help you walk through life.
Okay, Christian, grab that mic as well. We'll get you on the mic. All right, what you got?
I would say that Foster Nation is really great at providing you with resources and giving you examples of how to do things. I've learned so much being part of Foster Nation in terms of professional work environments and working for nonprofits and just ways to give back in ways that I didn't even know I could before.
Okay, so basically, all these people here, these four, have all been in foster care. And they are amazing and dynamic, and you all give me such great hope for the future. So you can sign off here, but they can find you at Foster Nation, right? Okay, so I have to watch the rest of the podcast and listen to the podcast to hear the rest of what we're talking about, Foster Nation. Okay, so as we close out the podcast, I'm going to let you share any thought you want about your journey, your life, Foster Nation, your hopes, your fears, your dreams, whatever you want. This is your moment to wrap it up for us. And who wants to go first? Anybody? Yeah, that's a bit. Christian!
I'll go
first.
Yes, go. Everyone, I know you guys can't see because you're listening, but everyone's ducking. you know, foster care is not easy, and there definitely is a stigma against foster care, but at the end of the day, it's possible to get through it, and it's possible to be more than just that 3% or that 1%. And I think if you are in foster care and you're listening to this, you know, podcast, these are people that were in similar shoes to you. You know, no one walks the same path, but I felt alone. I felt, you know, however I felt when I was going through stuff, and I was able to get through it, and you can too. Just find support and know that it is out there.
And that's what I love about Foster Nation. I think it is a great sense of support and a place to kind of feel community. All right, who's going next? Cheyenne?
Yeah, right. So I think for me, just kind of a message I have for any current or former foster youth would be, like Christian said, just seek out those resources on colleges. I know a lot of colleges across the nation have Guardian Scholars programs, which are programs designated to kind of support current and former foster youth. But even if you're not in, you know, higher education, just find mentors within your community, find support, seek out resources, and don't be afraid to ask for help, because a lot of times there's a lot more foster youth than you think there are, and there's a lot more people that want to help and make sure you succeed in life.
Because I was going to say, it's not just about kids in college.
Yeah, there's a lot more youth that don't go the higher education route. There's only 3% that end up graduating from college. So I would say there's more youth that aren't in college that need those resources.
And Foster Nation is for them too?
Foster Nation is most importantly for them.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So I guess my big thing, you know, if you are currently or were formerly in the foster care system, I would say the biggest thing that I've learned in this whole process, I didn't go to college to end up in the nonprofit space, but I realize now in speaking up all the time about foster care that it's so incredibly important to own your story. And it's equally important to realize that having gone through foster care, if you are standing anywhere in the world, in the country, and you're listening to this, you have made it. You know, like this is it. You've made it. That is an incredible feat in and of itself. And I think it's so incredibly important that we take the time to be proud of that, you know, especially every single one of you in this room. You know, I've known Cheyenne, Sherry, and Christian for different times, for Sherry for really the longest. But it's, you know, I have to constantly I'm just blown away by each and every one of you because you are the 1 to 3%, and that is a superpower. You know, that's not something that
That's the 1 to 3% that went to college.
That graduated from college. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it really that's something that I think is really important to know. And for people that haven't, you know, have been lucky enough to not have had the experience of foster care, I think it's so incredibly important to support in any way that you can.
And they can do that through your group.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, from donating things to literally showing up and even being a person that would be on the other end of a phone picking up when somebody calls, that is incredibly powerful and so important. So there's something everyone can do, especially if you've been fortunate enough to have a mom, a dad, you know, the resources, a great family, or, you know, all of the above.
Okay, so I do have some career clothes I can contribute to your event.
Great.
Yes.
We're ready for them.
I used to be a size smaller or two back in the day.
Me too.
Those clothes.
Cheyenne knows about that.
Did you want to go, Christian or Cheyenne?
Oh, no. I was just going to compliment your shoes today.
My shoes?
Yeah. They're
we
amazing.
Love them.
Those you cannot have. I'll find something for you, but those you cannot have.
I'll take you up on that.
All right. Sherry, bring us home.
Yes. So for any former foster youth out there, I know the number one thing I struggled with was homelessness. So finding a place to stay. So if you are a former foster youth and you're just trying to find your place in the world, there are some amazing resources. Because I always wonder, where are the resources? I don't know where to look. Where to start? Foster Nation. Come to our networking event. We have the Emporium, which gives you free clothes. It's located right by the La Brea Tar Pit. So if you need something, Foster Nation. If you're looking for a job, the Right Way Foundation, right at the Crenshaw Mall, yeah. It's amazing. They will help you with also career clothes, job training, and Franco Vega will hook you up with a job if he can. But he'll help you with your resume and things. And if you're looking for housing, Sanctuary of Hope is an amazing organization. They have rapid rehousing and then some hotel vouchers and just some things that can support you. So if you need to go somewhere, Foster Nation, the Right Way Foundation, and Sanctuary of Hope, they're there for you.
Wow.
They're amazing people.
You are a wealth
Don't forget.
Of knowledge.
She is. Mm-hmm. She came prepared.
Okay. On that note, I say thank you to Foster Nation for being on the podcast. And I always thank the gentleman who donated the music for our podcast, DJ Reaper. Cue the music.